Let us turn again to the part of God's Word which we read together in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, and let us consider verse 5. Haggai, chapter 1, at verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The last three books of the Old Testament, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, were written after the captivity, after the people of Israel and Judah had been sent away because of their sin into Assyria and Babylon. The Jews, the tribe of Judah and others connected with them, they had been sent to Babylon about 100 years after the northern kingdom had been conquered and sent into captivity. They were back from the captivity. The Lord had mercy on them and brought them back. But what about the temple that had been burnt? That's what's brought to our attention here, that the Lord was speaking to them. He was asking them to consider their ways because the house of God had not been rebuilt. They should have been noticing difficulties in their providence. It's not that they were completely in a state of famine, but although they were eating, they did not have enough. The one that was earning wages, it was as if he was putting it into a bag with holes. Most of it was being lost, if not all. So the Lord was calling on them to consider their ways, to set their hearts to their ways. That's what it is, literally. So the consideration that is spoken of must be something earnest. It must be something sincere. Their hearts were to be set to this. Consider your ways. Set your heart to your ways. See what your ways are in comparison with what they should be. That's the kind of thing that was being said to them. That's the kind of idea that was being put in their minds. And especially here in connection with the temple. They were living in houses with ceilings, which obviously was not just a plain, ordinary house at that time. It was something more than that. And the effort that had been put into making the house more elaborate, perhaps that's too strong a word, but whatever exactly the description should be, was effort that should have been put into rebuilding the temple. So they were to bring wood and build the house and everything else that they need. Perhaps they could reuse the stone that had been used in building the original temple. Perhaps the walls were still partly standing, but a lot of work was needed and they weren't attending to it. So, that is what they were called to through Haggai the prophet and also Zechariah. Malachi was quite some time later. But the Lord blessed these things to the people. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and he was the civil leader, Joshua the son of Josedek, he was the high priest, and all that were left of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, and they got on with the work. They got on with what they were being directed to do. So, here is a call which we are to address this morning. Consider your ways. These people were to consider their ways in their circumstances. Were their ways as they should have been? The answer was no. We are to consider our ways. And I'm not confining or particularly going to emphasize the matter of church buildings or anything of that nature. I'm going to consider it more generally and going to consider it in particular in relation to our own spiritual standing. We're to consider our ways. We're to consider which way we are going through life. We're to consider how we are spending our time, what we think about, our attitudes, our attitude to God, our attitude to the Bible, that sort of thing. But generally, our spiritual condition, our religion, what we do with our opportunities, the use we make of the means of grace, that sort of thing. Consider your ways. And we are to treat that as a message from God to us. What kind of religion have we? Is it just outward? Or is it inward as well? What kind of religion have we? Does it involve believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it involve a sincere turning away from sin? A sincere repentance? And a turning to God through Jesus Christ? Well, these are questions we should have in mind. I'm not saying I will refer again to all of these things. I may speak somewhat generally, but these are the sorts of particular points that we might do well to apply the general matters to. I've got three main points today at this service. The first is why we should consider our ways. Second, how we may consider our ways. What is it to consider our ways? What is it to set our hearts on these things? And then in the third place, what our considering of our ways should lead us to. If we have considered our ways now and later on today, for instance, what should we go on to do? What should we go on to think about? First, why should we consider our ways? Second, how? What particular points should we attend? What should be the general consideration we should give to our ways to life? And then, finally, what this should lead on to? Well, why? That's the first matter. Well, I suppose the first thing is, God tells us to do it. God tells us this. Now, it is a particular context here. There was a particular situation that these Jews were in when Haggai spoke to them and the Lord spoke to them through Haggai. But we're not in the same position, that is true. But our ways generally, our ways through life, God is telling us to consider our ways, to give serious consideration to where we are and where we are going spiritually. God is speaking in many ways. He was speaking to the Jews here in their providence. They were sowing much and bringing in little. That sort of thing. Things weren't going well with them in their providence. Well, are there things like that in connection with us? Now, we have to be careful in following that too. I mean, to come and speak in that way to Job, that wasn't the right way to deal with his situation. The Lord was testing Job. That was the main thing. There was more than that. But you see, we're not to say about everyone that finds themselves in trouble. When Paul found himself in prison in Rome, for instance, you weren't to go and tell Paul, look, what's your sin? Where are you going off the right path? What's wrong with your spiritual life? Well, he might say, the things that I would, I do not, and the things that I do not, that I would not, that I do. Romans 7. He might speak in these terms. But that wasn't the right approach to take with Paul. The Lord had his own purposes with Paul. And many a trouble that the people of God have to endure. It's not chastisement because of their sins. Now, in other circumstances, it might be. That's the sort of thing they are to consider. But in this case, there were problems with the way in which they were going. And these are things we should be considering prayerfully. Bringing these matters before God. Lord, why is it that I am in this situation? May I be made able to interpret the situation properly. These are the sorts of petitions we should be offering up. Lord, help me to, as I consider my ways, to understand things properly, not to go off in a wrong direction, but to consider things properly and to have the help of thy spirit in the situation I am in. To have the help of thy spirit. That's what we should be asking. Now, these people in Jerusalem, perhaps more widely, they had a prophet who came to them. He explained what was wrong. He explained why their income wasn't going very far. He explained why their harvests were so poor. We're not to expect a prophet to come to us, and supposing someone would come who claimed to be a prophet, and who claim to be able to interpret God's providence to us. Well, certainly we're not going to get a prophet. And people may be able to interpret our providence, and they may not. We have to be careful. It's for us to be committing our ways to the Lord, to considering our ways prayerfully, to go before the Lord and ask Him to show us, not to be too ready to believe what some person might say, but that the Lord would convince our minds and convince our conscience. Now, you see, why? Why should we consider these things? Well, the next thing is the seriousness of life. And what I mean by that is, why are we in this world? Well, you might answer, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, will we enjoy God forever? Are we enjoying God at all? These are considerations. These are things we ought to consider. But, you see, what I'm really driving at can be put like this. The importance of eternity. Where am I going? Suppose I was to be cut down suddenly at this point in time. Where would my soul be? Where would my soul go? Where would I spend eternity? Would it be in the presence of God, or would it be in a lost eternity? Which? Now, I put it in that way, I'm putting it in that way in the hope that other people will just take these words and ask the question of themselves. Have we good grace? Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we hate sin? Let us consider our ways. Let us consider our thinking, which is very much related to our ways. But the point just now is the importance of getting safely through this world and safely into heaven. Is that the way we are going? Such an important question. We need to know the answer. And may the Lord then bring us to consider our ways, to be earnest before Him. Where are we going? Are we on the way to heaven? And you see, we have the warning, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. You see, if a field has a very narrow gate, it might be difficult to get into it. If you were herding cows and you wanted to get them into a field and the gate is so narrow, well, a cow may not be able to get in. You have to give up your idea of getting them in there, however good the grass might be. There's a difficulty. It's not an impossibility in this case of getting in to the way that leads to everlasting life. But certainly, the way that leads to destruction is wide, and the road is broad. It's easy to go along that way. There's any number of possibilities. You can be very religious and still on that way. You can be very irreligious and you're still on that way. Well, what we need is to consider our ways. What way are we on? Will it take us to heaven? That's the question just now. Will it take us to heaven? And there's a further danger. That's highlighted in Proverbs 14. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. I'm religious. I go to church. I say my prayers. It seems right to me. It seems to me that that will satisfy God. That's what so many people might say. But does it satisfy God? Is there sincerity in it? And am I setting my heart on these things? Am I sincere about it? Am I earnest about it? Am I taking God seriously? Am I taking the end of my path seriously? Or am I just satisfying myself? Is it the case that it seems right to me the way that I am going? It seems right. Are we satisfied with that? Put it another way. Does it seem right to God? How will we know that? Search the scriptures. Ask for the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in our souls, so that we might get light on these things, so that we might know what the mind of God is about the way that we are going through life, the way that we are going through life. And so, as Jeremiah was saying in his Lamentations in chapter 3, let us search and try our ways. Let us search and try our ways and turn unto the Lord. Turn away from sin, turn away from carelessness, turn away from formality to God, coming through Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to save sinners. You see how emphatically the Saviour put the matter. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There were those, a tower fell on them, and they were killed. But the Saviour is taking the matter a step higher, or several steps higher. You see, if you're going on the wrong way, then you will perish. Unless you repent, unless you turn from your sin, unless you turn from your unbelief, unless you turn from your carelessness. Yes, these are all sins. We might think of murder as a sin, of adultery as a sin, and so on. But what about unbelief? What about rejecting the gospel? What about being careless about our souls? What about not being terribly serious about seeking the Lord? Are these not sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn unto the Lord. And you see, the Saviour was putting this to his disciples. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Those who believe they are the children of God, they have to be abiding in Christ. They have to stay united to Christ. Now, of course, we know that if a sinner is united to Christ, he will continue united to Christ. But the point the Saviour is making is, though you would think you are united to Christ, though you would think that you are believing in Christ, are you really? And you must go on going to Christ. You must go on looking to Christ. You must go on trusting in him. Yes. You see, if we are Christ's, if we are true believers, then we will not finally turn away from him. And indeed, we must seek not to turn away from him at all. we must go to him and keep going to him and keep trusting in him, keep looking to him. Let us then notice these points about why we should consider our ways. God has spoken, and there's the great importance of where the way we are on will take us. Will it take us to heaven at last? And there is the danger of deceiving ourselves about being in the right way. There's a danger. I'm not encouraging God's children to doubt what the Lord has done for them. But you see, there's dangers in every direction. And how can we avoid these dangers? Or how can we get past these dangers? Well, it comes back to this, looking unto Jesus, believing in him. Well, in the second place, what is it to consider our ways? What is it? What is meant by considering our ways? And we might take it in this way. Do we have faith or do we not? Are we living a godly life or are we not? Are we turning away from sin or are we not? Have we been born again or have we not? There's these various questions and no doubt more. But if we think about the first point, do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? How significant that is. See the way you have it in John chapter 3, no doubt still the words of Christ at that stage. He that believeth on him, that's on himself, is not condemned. And if a sinner is not condemned, he is justified. He is accepted by God. That's the one that believes in Christ. The one that trusts in him, as he has said before us in the gospel, as the Savior, the one who came into the world to save sinners. Are we looking to Christ as the one who came in God's great name to say? There's a question. Are we believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? He that believes then on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the Savior is not speaking there about a final condemnation. But you see, if we're sinners, we're condemned. We're on the way to a lost eternity. We're to consider if we're on that way. But you see, that's the situation we are. Still going on as sinners. Not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are under condemnation. We are going on under condemnation. We are condemned to a lost eternity. But there is still the opportunity to escape from that way. And to escape from that condemnation. See, the call still comes to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. So, we are to examine ourselves. Have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or not? We are to examine ourselves, as that is explicitly set before us, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. What are the evidences? Well, let us notice our reaction. in four different ways, or to four different things, as we might put it. What's our reaction? What is our reaction to 4 points just now? This should help us to get some light on what kind of creature we are. And the first is to the light. What's our reaction to the light? Now, if you're speaking about natural light, it might depend on where we have been. If we come out of darkness into bright sunshine, we might be squinting. We might find it difficult to keep our eyes open. If we've been in the light for a long time already, we might easily bear with some increase in the intensity of the light. I'm just saying just now that there is a difference naturally in how we react to the light. But I'm thinking of the light that comes through the Word of God. The light that should enlighten our darkness. The light that should enable us to see, even if we feel in darkness. See what the Savior said. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Men loved darkness rather than light. Does that not distinguish between those who are on the right way and those who are not, who are on the way that leads to destruction, everlasting destruction? When the Word of God is telling us about our sins, do we resist? When the Word of God shows us Christ, are we attracted? Or do we not want to hear about such spiritual things? Just speaking just now generally, I'll come on to some of these points more specifically in a few moments. But the light that comes from the Word of God, do we resist it? Do we welcome it? Even if it might be uncomfortable in some ways, do we say, that's right, that's for my good? Or do we want to shut our ears? Do we want to go away, though? Perhaps that might not be what we feel comfortable with doing. It would show us up to be on the wrong way. Well, second thing, how do we react to sin? Do we feel the need to say, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags? The righteousness that is, that we have from ourselves. How do we react to that? Do we say, yes, it's true? And perhaps even after many a long year on the right way, you're saying, I am seeing more of that than ever I did. But you see, you know where to go. It's not that you would reject the testimony of God against yourself and your sin, but you know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that's what you want. You want to receive the testimony of the gospel. Yes. The point just now is to consider our ways, to consider what way we are on, so that we can come to a right conclusion, so that we would, if we are on the wrong way, we would seek that the Lord would draw us onto the right way. And so that if we aren't on the right way, the Lord would show us that. We're not if we aren't on that way. We're not to reject the testimony of God in connection with the way that we are on. If we are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do welcome the gospel, if we do follow David in Psalm 139 at the end, when he says, "Search me, O Lord, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If I am wandering out of the way, lead me back to the right way. You see, with the people of God, there shall a sense of the rightness of the right way. It's not that they have a perfect understanding of these things. It's not that they understand the law of God perfectly, but that there is an openness to being put right. Now, everything that can be said about the people of God has to be said with a consciousness of their imperfection. And in some things they are more imperfect than others, no doubt. But even with all their imperfection, it should be possible for them to see who they are and where they are going. And may we be seeking that. Again, in connection with our weakness, how do we react? Do we go to God that he would strengthen us, that he would help us, that he would keep us? Well, you have this in Psalm 17. We were singing that. Hold up my goings. Here's David's prayer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I'm prone to slip. I'm prone to slide away. But hold up my goings. You see, what's true of the people of God, more or less, is that whatever is wrong, they will go to him to be, and ask him to put them right. Now, that may not be their immediate response, but there's that tendency in. The Lord will not leave them to go astray forever. He will bring them back. He has given them a new heart. He has given them a set of new attitudes. Yes. And what about Christ? How do they react to Christ? Well, have we come to see that he is altogether lovely? This is my friend. And even if they can't quite say that, they would say, may he be made my friend. May I see that he is altogether lovely, that he is the chiefest among 10,000. Yes, we're not to be assuming that the people of God in this world are perfect. But you see, what are they to do with their imperfection? They're to pray. And they need grace to pray. And they need more grace to pray. To persevere in prayer. Left to themselves, the people of God will find it very difficult to pray. But that's another reason to pray. To ask God for grace. To ask God for help. Now, in relation to these things, Where are we? Are we learning something about the ways of God? Or have we not learned anything? Or learned things only in an outward way? What about our attitudes? What are they? What about our desires? We're to consider our ways. We're to consider our hearts. What ways are our hearts going in? That's it. What way is our heart going in? Where are we going? Where are our desires going? Have we a desire for God's glory? Well, consider your ways. Consider the tendencies of your heart, not least. Our attitudes, our desires should tell us a lot about ourselves. And at the same time, let us remember that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. And what I'm getting at just now is that from the beginning of Christian life until the moment that the saved sinner is brought to glory, there may be a long distance. I don't just mean of time. I don't particularly mean that. But it's progress. But it's also progress in realizing what sin is and how much sin there is in the soul. And that may weaken the perception of it, that a child of God has of where they are spiritually or how far on they are spiritually. They might imagine that after 50 years, say, on the way to heaven, they would be far, far, far further on than they are. Well, perhaps they're further on than they realize. Perhaps a considerable part of their getting further on is a better knowledge of themselves as sinners. But let that increased knowledge of Christ that increased knowledge of sin, of themselves, lead them to go more to Christ. Well, finally, what should considering our ways lead us on to? Well, the first thing I would say is it should lead us to put things in the right places. To get our priorities right. What should our priority in life be? What should our priority in life be? Well, we ask the Savior. What would he say? Well, he has told us already. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek a place in the kingdom of God. Seek that first of all. Seek that as the most important thing. So we're not to put it off to tomorrow or next year or sometime in the future. It's now. It's so important. It's the most important thing. Now, it's not that seeking the Lord would keep us necessarily from doing our ordinary carrying out our ordinary responsibilities in this life. But you see, what's first? What's foremost? What's to be at the top of our priorities? Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, the righteousness that God has provided, so that we might be fit to enter into heaven, so that we might have a wedding garment. Whatever else we would set before the Lord, there's this, that I would be on this right way that we have been speaking about. That I would be on this right way. What about the prodigal son? Well, he went away from the home that he should have remained in. His way was leading in the wrong direction. It's a picture of the sinner going further and further away from God or from Christ. But then he came to himself. The Lord was working. It's a picture of the Lord working in a sinner. And what did he say then? He knew he was on the wrong way. He knew he was away from God. He knew he was needy. So what does he say? What's his resolve? What's his thought? I will arise and go to my Father. Is that what we've been brought? I must go to God. I must go in the way that he has appointed. I must go in the name of Christ. I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do we find that impossible? Well, here's a prayer for you then. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Draw me. Exercise thy power upon my soul, so that I would not stay where I am, but that I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would go to it. Yes. If we're considering our ways and come to the conclusion that we're not on the right way, then what do we need to do? Or what do we need? We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our souls so that we would want to come to Christ, to believe in him, to trust in him. If we are unable to believe in Christ, then the Lord can make us able and willing, and we need to be asking for that. I will arise and go to my Father. Yes. Remember what the way is. You remember what the Savior said when Philip was asking him, I am the way. He said he didn't know the way that Christ was speaking about. Well, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, through Christ. You see, he is the Savior. He is the one who has provided for the salvation of sinners. He is the one who has exalted a prince and a Savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins, to give all spiritual blessings. What is it you need yourself? Well, it's to be found in Christ. Go to him in the light of God's word. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to the Father. He brings sinners by a way that they know not. He leads them in paths that they have not known. He makes darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Yes, what a provision. What a complete provision there is in Christ for needy people like ourselves. A complete provision. You see, you might find a road and it seems to go nowhere. Or a road that stops short of the destination you want to get. It has never been finished. It's been abandoned. That's possible. Well, we need a road that will take us all the way to heaven, not just part of the way, and then leave us stranded. The way that God has appointed for sinners to get to heaven, it's a complete way. It leads all the way to the very door of heaven. Christ said, I am the way. It's because of me and what I am doing, what he has now done, that sinners get to heaven. Christ said of the work he was doing, it is finished. Christ said of the road that leads to heaven, it is finished. Yes, let us not stop till we are on that way. If we get on to that way, we will get all the way to heaven. Though we must keep on seeking the Lord. We must keep on trusting in him. We must keep on turning from sin. We must keep on praying. We must keep on seeking grace. Yes. Let us be clear about this. The road leads all the way. You will not find anyone. You might find people on a pilgrimage and they've fallen ill. Their bodies lie by the wayside. If we're on our way to heaven, if the Lord is showing us that we are on our way to heaven, we will get there. The road leads all the way home, so to speak. Now, another couple of petitions from Psalm 25, which we sang too, of course. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. Whatever a preacher might say, the great thing is that the Lord would apply the truth to the person's soul who is listening. Yes, we've heard about these ways, the two ways. And we are to ask the Lord, show me thy ways, the way that leads to heaven, the way that I should walk in. Show me Christ as the Saviour of sinners. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of the truth, out of thy law. In other words, out of the scriptures. Show me these wonderful things. Open my eyes that I might see them. Teach me thy paths. Keep me. Bring me into the path. Keep me in that path. Make me able to make progress. Yes. And I quoted about the broad way that leads to everlasting destruction. Let me give the other side of what the Saviour said. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that go in thereat. Few there be that go in there. Well, however few there are today who are on the right way, let us be in earnest before God to be on that right way. And let us listen to Christ as he is saying to us, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, give us grace to consider our ways. May we be in earnest about our souls. Do not leave us to carelessness. Grant thy blessing. Bless the truth. May we take it in. May it be applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Meet with us this evening. We bless all who come to hear thy word today. Give a blessing. Wash away our sin. Be our God and guide forever. hear us graciously and love us freely. And may we be asking all in the name of Christ. Amen.